Howdy do, buggaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Friday. It is the 2nd of July, 2021. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, good to be here. What a joyous occasion.
Well, Andrew thinks it's joyous, which leads into the first bit of news we have for you today. This is your reminder that we are headed into a holiday weekend, and so there will be no show on Monday. And so you won't get a chance to chat with us again until Tuesday. But for right now, to kick off your holiday weekend, we have Security Friday. So we're going to start, as we usually do, with a little bit of news. And Andrew, you have some news for us.
I do. So our first piece of news is there is a new search engine kit on the block, and it launched earlier this week, and it's called Neeva, N-E-E-V-A.
Okay.
It was created by two ex-Googlers, and it sounds like there are a whole bunch of other ex-Googlers on the team.
Okay.
They're calling themselves an ad-free private search engine. Which sounds cool. So they say
Neeva
promises a private search experience free from advertising. It blocks third-party trackers. And on the website, you can also connect some of your other accounts like email, calendars, and certain cloud storage platforms.
Hmm. Okay.
Now, it is. So they say you can try it free for 3 months, I think. And then after that, it costs $5 a month.
Okay.
Now, it is another subscription. I'm kind of tired of all these subscriptions, too. However, I still think it has its place. There are other free services like DuckDuckGo, for example.
Yeah.
Neeva is doing a couple of unique things.
Okay.
Like I mentioned, they let you connect some of your personal accounts. So, for example, under search tab, there is a personal tab.
Okay.
And if you click on that and you have all these accounts, you can search for all your things right there. So in that way, it's kind of similar to Spotlight.
Okay. That might be interesting. I could see that being being useful. Yeah. Okay. And
so,
do you just go to the site and use it? Or I'm assuming you have to create an account so that you can be charged, right? And then is it an app? Do you have to install something?
There is an iOS app. I don't think there's a Mac app, but otherwise, like you said, just go over to the website to start using it.
Okay.
And then another thing I thought was interesting. So in order to try to make money or try to attract third-party partners, they say they will share 2% of top-line revenue with content creator partners, like news publishers, to make up for this, the ad revenue they're not collecting. Okay. So they say it sounds like it's under certain conditions. If you actually click on and use one of their partners' links on there, that is when they'll get some of that shared revenue.
Okay. Interesting. All right. Well,
yeah,
that's good to know. And I'm with you on thinking there's a place for that. It's nice to hear that somebody's taking a shot at it. And if anybody knows how to do it, it's ex-Googlers. So,
oh yeah,
that seems like a good pedigree to come from. So
So real quick, the interesting part is that it is an ad-free service, but these two Googlers who founded this service, they used to work with advertising at Google. One of them is a former senior vice president of ads. Mm-hmm. And then the other one was a vice president of monetization at YouTube.
Okay.
So it sounds like they kind of, changed their tack from advertising.
Yeah. And I like that's a thing that somebody has decided to try and figure out how to do. That's pretty great, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm into that. Good news and bad news. This is becoming an ongoing segment on Secure Your Stuff Friday, and that is This Week in Data Breaches. So we have another one to report, and this will sound familiar. Not to give anything
LinkedIn.
Away.
So it sounds like this is more of a data leak than a data breach. Like LinkedIn was saying that their systems were broken into. So first of all, these hackers have collected the data of 700 million LinkedIn users. Some of the data types that were collected include email addresses, full names, phone numbers, physical addresses, geolocation records, LinkedIn username and profile URL, personal and professional experience and backgrounds, genders, and other social media accounts and usernames that you may have connected to LinkedIn, which is a terrible, a lot amount of information. But the reason I'm calling it...
Yeah.
Yeah, and the reason I'm calling it a leak instead of a breach is because, who wrote this up? RestorePrivacy.com. So they are saying that this hacker was able to take advantage of some kind of API. So it's public, it's scraping of public information that, you know, people upload to their LinkedIn profile.
Okay.
Let's see.
So that just gives them everything that anybody put. It's basically everybody's public profile, but all in one convenient package is kind of how it sounds.
Yeah. So in some kind of forum online on June 22nd, this is when this person advertised they had this data for sale. They posted a sample of the data that includes 1 million LinkedIn users. And according to this Restore Privacy, it sounds like they're asking $5,000 for the complete data set.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
$5,000 for 700 million
right.
Tells you what somebody thinks your resume is worth. So there you go. that's even more cheerful and uplifting news for you here on Security Friday. So now we do have some... I think it's good news. We have some good news about something that is available for people to try out ahead of time.
Yes, I think this is good news. It's been a while since I've mentioned it, I think, but an app that I really like and use is called Cryptomator. It's available on multiple platforms, and it lets you encrypt your files, and then you can either store them in a vault offline, like on a flash drive, and you can also store the vault in a cloud service, and it supports services like Google Drive, OneDrive, Dropbox, iCloud, and it's end-to-end encrypted, so it's nice because it gives you the convenience of cloud storage, but you also can be, you know, rest assured that your data is still under your control.
Yeah. And there, this new version is publicly available, I guess, is how about that? You have to sign up through Test Flight in order to use it, right?
Yeah. So that was the background. The actual news is that they are getting ready for a pretty big 2.0 upgrade. The first part of the news is this this upgrade. It's available for testing for the public through Apple's Test Flight app. The second part of the news is that they have now fully open sourced their iOS app. Previously, they had open sourced the apps on their other platforms. I don't know the details, but there was something with the iOS app that they could only open source part of it, I think.
Okay.
But now they've fully shifted to fully open. The main feature that they talk about in this update is it's fully integrated in the iOS Files app. I guess they said that was the biggest feature request they had.
Okay. Interesting. I'm glad to hear it. I'm definitely interested to see where this ends up, and I'm glad that they've got it out for the public to use, because you can't ever test for anything. If you have more than, you know, a single digit number of people using your app, you're never going to be able to get all the use cases covered. So it's nice that they're letting people who are interested go ahead and take a shot at it. So,
yeah.
Let's see. Okay. And then today we also have a practical tip. And today's practical tip, since we're talking about people getting to test software, that pivots nicely into public betas. Much like Cryptomator 2, we have a couple of public betas available now if people want to try them.
Yes, so this is the joyous occasion that I speak of. we have the first public betas of iOS 15 and iPadOS 15. There is WatchOS 8. There is macOS Monterey. And I think that covers it. I'm not sure if tvOS is included or not, but I'm sure it is.
I think it is. It always seems to be lower profile, and sometimes it's on its own schedule. So it's kind of hard to tell. Like, sometimes it's a little behind or a little ahead when the versions change. So these are all things that you can try out. These are, if you want to, we're going to bang the backup drum. We'll just pretend Bob's here for another day. And we'll talk about how you really need to make sure you have backups. And in this case, not necessarily a time machine backup would be my recommendation. Because if you need to go all the way back, if you put this on your whatever machine you have, if you put a Monterey Beta on your Mac and you know, you've been at it for an hour and you think, I've made a terrible mistake, then in order to go back, you'll want to be able to use that Carbon Copy Cloner or Super Duper or, you know, whatever other sort of like duplicate of your drive in order to make sure that you can get into all the stuff that you need again, like that original version of those files. So,
yeah,
that's first.
So, So I haven't installed Monterey. So I haven't dealt with, you know, trying to back up a Mac. But if you're doing it with the iPhone or the iPad, then you can back that up to your Mac through Finder and then archive that backup.
Yes.
Which means that it's like can't be touched or something like that.
Yeah. I don't remember exactly how the archive backup, like what it does, but it makes it so that if you want to remove other backups or you want to, you know, manage the backup files, then it takes a little more to accidentally remove that one. So that's nice.
Yeah.
It sort of keeps it out of the way of all of the regular backups that you've got going on. And if you want to make sure that you have an absolute backup, you can always use iMazing for that thing that we talk about here a lot. Dave uses it. I know over at MacGeek Gab, they're big fans of it. I'm a big fan of it because it allows me to do exactly this. I'm going to make a very specific, complete backup of my device right now and then go do whatever I want to it. And then even if I have it set to backup automatically or whatever, I can still go back to that first one and go, no, I want to put this backup is the one I want to restore to my device because I want to go back, start over again. So that can be super helpful as well. And definitely, if you want to try it out, it's cool. We're big fans of these. I'm particularly a fan of the public beta because it tends to be something a little more solid before they give it to kind of anybody that wants to try it out, which is nice. But also, we've got some security features in these that are coming that you that I know you and I have talked about here. Some of the stuff that stood out from the WWDC announcement. So let's give people a quick hit on some of those.
Right. So there are a bunch of new privacy features coming. There is app privacy report, similar to the privacy report in Safari. It lets you see which apps are connecting to third-party services and are accessing your location, photos, camera, microphone, et cetera, within the past 7 days. So that's cool.
Yeah.
I consider this a privacy feature. Siri can now process a lot of stuff on device now when it comes to speech recognition. So that is private. Like it reduces your commands leaving your iPhone and your iPad. But it's also, you know, the other half of that, I think we may have mentioned it, is it makes it faster to use as well.
Yeah, because like maybe if your connection's not so great, you don't have to worry about it because it's not waiting for anything to come back from a server someplace else.
And then there are a couple more, but finally, the one that I wrote a tip on, earlier this week, it is called Hide My Email. Uh-huh. And I'm a fan of this. So Apple says it's built directly into Safari, your iCloud settings, and Mail. And what it does is it helps you generate these random iCloud emails that are then, like, if you receive emails to that email alias, it gets forwarded to maybe your Apple ID email or another email you have set up.
And so this works a lot like sign in with Apple, sort of. Like, for all intents and purposes, it's this email address, but the thing I actually gave them was blah, 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 at iCloud.com, you know.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So this is great. You can manually generate these emails. It also suggests them for you. Mm-hmm. So, for example, if you're signing up for some kind of account online, it will ask you, hey, do you want to, you know, create a hide my email address? And if you say, mm-hmm. okay, then boom, there it is.
Mm-hmm. I definitely like that this has come to email. Partly because you can also decide, you know, someplace demands an email address out of you to do the thing you want to do, but you don't necessarily want to give them one, then you can spin one up and then you can go manage those addresses and go, yeah, don't send me email from this address anymore. And then, like, you know, anything that gets emailed to that address just doesn't go anywhere. Like, the address doesn't exist because it doesn't anymore. Yeah. And that I really like.
So. Yep, you can, as well as, you know, manually creating them or having mm-hmm. them suggested, you can also delete them at any time.
Yeah, and that's also very, very nice. Footnote to that, talking about the public betas, I want to thank Eric who emailed into us today. So, hi, Eric. Thanks for giving us a shout to let us know that the betas were out and that part of what you were looking forward to was the security features in those. And that's why you were looking to install them. That's actually why we're talking about it today. So,
yeah.
Yeah. If you have things you would like us to talk about, we will give you a shout out on the show, like you just heard. And you can do that by emailing observations@macobserver.com, TMO Daily on Twitter, or by leaving comments in the show notes. So that's going to do it for us on this glorious day. So, Andrew, thanks so much for coming by.
Yeah, thanks for having me, and have a good weekend, everyone.
Yes, have a great holiday weekend. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you on Tuesday. In the meantime, be excellent to each other, and let's be careful out there.